Hello, and welcome to the podcast, Aroma Perspective. I'm your host, Palermo. Unfortunately, Amorina could not make it today, but I'm not alone. I have an amazing guest, and that is Maria Rusevold from the Holocaust Center in Norway. And today's topic will be about anti-gypsism. Okay, Maria, just to get to know you better, I'd like to ask you a question, which is, if you had one superpower, what would it be and why?
I would love to be able to teleportate, because I get so often in these very embarrassing situations where people say stupid things and I just want to be away, get away from it.
Can't you just walk then? Or run away?
No, because then maybe people ask me, why are you going? And I have to explain and all these things, and we get into a very long conversation. So but if I just get me out of it. Away.
All right, Maria. So how exactly did you get to this point in life where you're working with the Roma people?
I worked at the Norwegian Holocaust Center, and I met Raya Bilenberg, which is a Roma from the former Soviet Union, a singer and a legend. We had a meeting in 2005, I think it was, where at the end of the meeting she said, but why do they hate us so much? And I was very embarrassed because I couldn't answer. I didn't know why. And I was thinking, I get the salary from the state and I cannot answer that simple question. So I started to be interested in where is the hate for the Roma coming from. And then fortunately, little by little, I learned to know the Norwegian Roma also.
Let's start on the topic at hand, which is anti-gypsism. Now, since you're a professional in this area, I think my first opening question to you will be, what exactly is anti-gypsism?
Well, you know, that's exactly what Raya asked me. Where is this hate coming from? And I have a definition that I'm going to read for you. It's made by the European Union in 2003. And I translate from Norwegian to English. So it's an ideology based on the idea of race superiority, a form of dehumanization and institutional racism, and that is nourished by the historical discrimination. So that's a definition that is it's not really saying something, but I think that the idea is that it's a hate that is into our institutions and that is has been there for a very long time, and that is it's a special form of racism against the Roma. So it's a word to say the particular racism against the Roma.
Now I have a question for you, since you brought up racism. I've seen a lot of discourse online and just in general, of how anti-gypsism is the same as racism, but from what I've heard, they're completely different, because anti-gypsism is a form of racism, yes. But it, like, you could say that racism is an umbrella term, right? So would you say that they are different, or are they the same? Or do Roma people need their own name for the racism that's being used against them and oppressing them?
Well, I think that was the idea when the word anti-tsiganism was the first word that came to name the specific form of racism against the Roma. And I think that the idea was to say that this was something particular. It was not the same thing as, for example, in Norway, immigrants from Pakistan or Somali countries were experiencing. It's another form of racism, even if the feeling maybe for the minorities is the same, but that in Norway it's nourished by the historical discrimination. The anti-Tsiganism is a form of racism that is coming in the 18th century together with the building of the national state. And in that building of the national state, you have to define what is being Norwegian and what is being not Norwegian. And the Roma is not included into what can become Norwegian, what is Norwegian there. So you define ourselves in the opposition to the Roma. And therefore, also all the institutions that are new institutions are integrating this into their institution. That's why it's so important to look, for example, on how the police is treating the Roma. Because historically, they have been built to take the Roma and put them in prison or expel them. That's how the police was built. And we see a continuity. If the institutions, our state institutions, don't know that they were built to get rid of the Roma, and that this is something that they have inside the walls, they will not be able to fight it. So that's the essence of anti-Ziganism, that it's a continuity.
But I wanted to ask you, how did this even happen? Like, how did anti-Gypsyism first start out or even was made?
Well, it's very difficult to say how and when it started. It's a large development. But, you know, we can see that in the 18th century, we have a lot of sources showing that, you know, people were living in the countryside and in the cities, and the Roma were traveling between the city and the countryside, bringing goods and happenings. And we see also that people were very happy with this happening. You know, it was before TV, it was before internet, you could not communicate, so it was something very exciting happening. Suddenly, these Roma people came, they were selling and repairing things. And then in the 18th century, you're starting this nation-building policy, and the institutions are also getting stronger. And you want to have control on the citizen. And this control is also a part of a policy against nomadism. They don't want people going around. You don't have control when
they don't want nomadic people.
No.
In general, when Roma people kept traveling, especially when they came to Norway, a certain paragraph was added within, I think, some sort of laws or state. It's called the Gypsy Paragraph. On Norwegian, it's called Sugøyneparagrafen. And could you tell us a little bit about that? Because I really wish to know who made it and as to what kind of implications it had on the Romani people.
The Roma came to Norway in the end of the 18th century, and they were allowed Norwegian citizenship. Then we started, the Norwegian state started a policy towards the minorities, and more especially the nomadic minorities, to settle and to become useful citizens. But they thought that the Roma could never become useful citizens, so they wanted to get rid of them. And so the Ministry of Justice sent a circular to all the police stations saying that if it's coming Norwegian Roma with Norwegian citizens' paper, these papers are seen as a fraud and they should be taken away and not prolonged. And then at the same time, they decided in the Aliens Act, the law of the immigration, to introduce the Sigøyneparagraf, the Gypsy Clause, which were saying that foreign Roma were not allowed into the country. This came in 1927. So the Norwegian Roma lost their citizenship and therefore became foreign Roma. And in the parliament, they put this law saying that foreign Roma are not allowed into the country. And this was the entire parliament that were voting. So it was everybody. Nobody were against it. And this was the later resistance leader, Paul Berg. He said when they put it through the vote in the parliament, he said that this clause don't need an explanation. So you see, that's the anti-Siganism. It's that you don't need to explain. Everybody knows something. And everybody knows that the Roma should not come into the country.
But exactly when did this end?
It ended in 1956. So that's 11 years after Second World War. So it was forbidden for Norwegian Roma to come to Norway from 1927 until 1956. Norway was Sigøynerfri, which were what the Nazis were fighting gypsy free.
So Norway did align its quote-unquote opinions with the Nazis regarding Roma people, especially how the Nazis were persecuting Roma people, because a lot of people still don't know that the Romani people were the second largest group within the Holocaust to be killed. How exactly do you fight anti-gypsyism?
It's a very good question and a large question, and I don't think I have one answer to that, but I think it's a common fight for us in the majority society and the Roma, but first and foremost, it's the responsibility of the majority and our governors to fight anti-Ziganism. And I think like what you're doing is a way of fighting anti-Ziganism. It's to show what Roma can do and how, and to question what we are doing. I think that's very important. I think it's very important to spread knowledge to the institutions that are continuing discriminating the Roma. So I think that to address this to the governors and say you have to act, you have to do, is very important. What do you think?
Well, I think you're correct, but I definitely do think that my minority should also voice their opinions in a group, because I've seen a lot of Roma just themselves voice the opinions and trying to state to other Roma to also voice their opinions. But I think as a group together, we would have more of a punch. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
The institutions that are still discriminating against Roma, they aren't getting attacked at all. They aren't getting any consequences for that. And I think that should be changed, because Roma people are humans, and they always will be, regardless of how much degrading you do or dehumanization, they will always still be people. And our culture is such a beautiful thing. I don't think it should be shunned. I don't think it should be kept hidden. And neither am I. I shouldn't be kept hidden. I'm a person. I should, like, live life. But now, on to my next question, because anti-gypsyism, it's not only that Romani people get affected by it. So could you please talk more about that?
Yeah, I just have to say that I agree with you. And I think that one of the things is, of course, that the Roma are suffering from anti-Ziganism or anti-Gypsyism. But I think also that the majority society is suffering from it. And I agree with you that the Roma and the Sinti has a lot of valuable things to learn us. When it comes to the Sinti, which is what we call the Romani Tatara in Norway, they have also been victim of the same persecution, but they were more numerous in Norway. So they were sent to schoolings, and the children were taken away from the parents. They were supposed to learn how to get up early and walk together with the clock during the day. And that's what it's written in the archives, to become useful Norwegian citizens. And that's where I think the whole problem is, the definition of what is a useful Norwegian citizen. What is it to be Norwegian? We have to expand then to see that we can be Norwegian in many different ways and still be Norwegian.
All right. Thank you, Maria, for coming on my podcast. We have talked for a long time now. I definitely think this discussion was very fun and very educational.
Thank you for having me. It's been such a pleasure.
And thank you for listening and tuning in to Aroma Perspective, everyone who's listening. If you like our podcast, please recommend us to friends and family and remember to subscribe.
And you guys are also welcome to give us feedback and recommendation for topics that you guys would like us to talk about.
This podcast is produced by Romano Kev and funded by the Arts Council Norway.
Devlesa.